Translation and Proofread by Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, while in material existence, bhavam ashrutaha, a person fully competent to distinguish wrong from right must endeavor to achieve the highest goal of life as long as the body is stout and strong and is not embarrassed by dwindling. Purport. As stated by Prahlad Maharaj, beginning of this chapter, Kumaram Acharat Pragya. The word Pragya means, or rather refers to one who is experienced and who can distinguish right from wrong. Such a person should not waste his energy and valuable human lifetime simply working like a cat or dog to develop his economic condition. For one word in this verse, there are two readings, bhavam ashrita and bhayam ashrita. But accepting the meaning of either of them will bring one to the same conclusion. Bhayam ashrita indicates that the materialistic way of life is always fearful, because at every step there is danger. Materialistic life is full of anxieties and fear, bhayam. Similarly, accepting the reading bhavam ashrita, the word bhavam refers to unnecessary trouble and problems. For want of Krishna consciousness, one is put into bhavam, being perpetually embarrassed by birth, death, old age, and disease. Thus, one is surely full of anxieties. Human society should be divided into a social system of Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. But everyone can engage in devotional service. If one wants to live without devotional service, his status as Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra certainly has no meaning. It is said, Stanat Brashta Patant Yodaha. Whether one is in a higher or lower division, one certainly falls down for want of Krishna consciousness. A sane man, therefore, is always fearful of falling from his position. This is a regulative principle. One should not fall from his exalted position. The highest goal of life can be achieved as long as one's body is stout and strong. We should therefore live in such a way that we keep ourselves always healthy and strong in mind and intelligence, so that we can distinguish the goal of life from a life full of problems. A thoughtful man must act in this way, learning to distinguish right from wrong, and thus attain the goal of life. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. It's pretty interesting, in the verse it is stated achieving the highest goal of life as long as the body is stout and strong. But then in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is saying, of course he's saying, again he repeats it, as long as one's body is stout and strong. But then Prabhupada carries it another step. Keep ourselves healthy and strong in mind and intelligence. Because it's inevitable that eventually the body will not be stout and strong. No matter what you do to keep your body stout and strong, there will come that day when it will no longer be stout and strong. Of course, we keep it stout and strong as long as possible. One time Prabhupada said, here he was an old man, you know, old man's body so energetically expanding this worldwide movement, he said, I will never grow old. But then, finally, in the last days, he told Hari Sarah, he says, now I am old. So it even came to Prabhupada, old. Even though he had so much youthful energy. On those morning walks, the young 20-year-old boys were having a hard time keeping up with Prabhupada. He has so much energy, sleeping 3.5 hours a day only. Actually, his body was sick even then, but in spite of that, he had youthful energy and enthusiasm. He had suffered the heart attacks, 2 of them, on the boat, and a 3rd one in America. But still, he was going on with great energy. with youthful energy, amazingly enough, with that old body with so many problems that it had. But finally, in the very end, he said, now I am home. So, it's interesting that Prabhupada brings in the point of stout and strong in mind and intelligence, even though it's not directly stated that way in the verse, because that's really what we really have to have, because that will carry us all the way to the final moment of death. If we're stout and strong in our intelligence. Of course, we keep the body stout and strong as long as possible. Why? Because we can... Well, it's our responsibility. This body is the property of Krishna. It's meant to be engaged nicely in Krishna's service. So if we don't take good care of it and it becomes sick, then we're not able to actually do what we're meant to do. We're not able to do our duty. It's not very satisfying to be sick in a bedridden condition or an incapacitated situation. It's not very enlivening for your devotional service. So we are meant to keep the body in very good shape. But understand that it won't always, eventually, it will no longer be in good shape. But then your intelligence at least must be in good shape. So we have to cultivate the proper intelligence at every step. Vidyam chavinyam yastad vedobayam saha avidyayam avidyayam ritam tridva, let's say, avidyayam ritam tridva, vidyayam ritam ashnate. That one who can cultivate both knowledge of nescience and of transcendence side by side can achieve the full blessings of immortality. So we have, while we have the bodily necessities to take care of, keeping the body stout and strong, that's a material thing. Even materialists are doing that. We see that we see them out from their early morning walks and, you know, taking health food and so many things to be stout and strong. So that's even devotees, we have to do that. We have to keep ourselves healthy and fit. But on the other side, that's the side of the material side. The other side, the spiritual side, we see. Both sides have to be there. Spiritual side is we become stout and strong in our intelligence by hearing the science of Krishna, by applying it very nicely in the service of the Lord. I was reading in the Shirsha Upanishad this very interesting point that one knows by hearing from authorities. That's how we know. For example, I'm not the body, Krishna is God, etc. By hearing from authorities. Hearing from the scripture, hearing from persons who are speaking from the scripture. In this way we know things, but how do we realize them? See, there's a difference between knowing it and realizing it. Prabhupada explains that we realize it by following the regulator principle. By hearing we can know, but we can't realize it. By actually following the regulator principles, that's how it becomes realized. You see, rising early, all the items that we do, rising early, taking bath, attending Mangal Arti, attending Tulsi worship, there's so many things. Accepting a spiritual master, huge list. Of course, the basic things are the four regulated principles. But there's so many activities that Prabhupada trained us to do. So by actually doing those activities, regularly attending the Bhagavatam class, so many things, these regulative activities are not without fruit. It's not that we're doing these activities just for the sake of doing them, because we're supposed to, and we want to live here, we have to do that. No, not like that. We're doing these activities because this will bring us the realization of Krishna. We'll actually realize Krishna. We can know Krishna is God by hearing, but to realize, to experience Krishna directly, face to face, eye to eye, for that we have to follow the regulative principle very nicely. So Prahlad Maharaj is giving very nice knowledge to these boys. his classmates. He's giving very first-class knowledge to them, if they will take advantage of it. A person fully competent to distinguish right from wrong must endeavor to achieve the highest goal of life, as long as the body is stout and strong and is not embarrassed by dwindling. Well, someone says, well, my body is not stout and strong and it's embarrassed by dwindling, therefore am I not meant to endeavor for the highest goal of life? Is that our philosophy? No. Even such a person should endeavor, even if somehow, you know, he's dying of cancer and he got a book. He didn't even know about it, Krishna consciousness. So does that mean, well, because his body is now dwindling, he's not supposed to even think about it? No, it doesn't mean that at all. The meaning is that when the body is healthy, then you must take full opportunity to engage it. As Prabhupada always said, how he engaged our youthful energy in pushing forward the Sankirtan movement. Some people could criticize, well, you know, he took these young people when they could have gone to college and they could have gotten careers and made a lot of money. He engaged them in preaching and distributing books. And they didn't realize their full material potential. One, they could argue like that. But actually that's not true, because your material potential is already there by the laws of karma. Whatever you're meant to achieve, that will come. That's a thing. So it's not that Prabhupada disrupted our material situation by engaging our youthful energy and pushing forward this movement, because that material situation is going to come anyway with the laws of karma. That's our Vedic philosophy. But Prabhupada did that. He took our youthful energy and engaged it in pushing toward the Sankirtan movement. Because that, when we have we're in a healthy, stout and strong position, we are meant to cultivate the self-realization process, Krishna consciousness. If you wait until you're dwindling, thinking, well, many people say like that, well, you know, later on when I have no energy left for material advancement, when I've retired and I have nothing else to do, then I will think about Krishna consciousness. Then I will chant japa, then I will take up the practice of Krishna consciousness. But the problem is, they don't do that. They don't do that. We have to take it up now. That's the point. Trust no future, however pleasant. If it's not good enough now, then it'll never be good enough for you. We have to take up pure devotional service right now. Because actually we don't know. We can die at any time. We can die at any time. So many things. Even in our society, we see so many young devotees, they die. Automobile accident. One brahmachari was killed, actually, in the deep south in Tennessee. They were at a preaching center, so somebody came by and threw a firebomb through the window. Molotov cocktail. This young brahmachari was burned to death. You see? Prajajana Prabhu. My godbrother, many, many years ago, in the deep south, they came by and threw a firebomb to the window of the preaching center and killed him. So we never know when we may leave the body. So wherever we are now, we must take it up very seriously, this process of Krishna consciousness. We should think, this may be my very last day on this planet, in this body. So let me take it very seriously now. This may be my last hour. This may be my last minute in this body. So let me fix myself in the mood of pure devotional service. If we're always thinking like that, then we're training ourselves properly, because there will come that last minute. It's coming. And the clock is ticking, just like they have these countdowns, Cape Kennedy, the launch, you know, the so-called space shuttle, whatever it is, wherever they're going. They have the countdown, 10, 9, 8, 7, 0, blast off. So we have our countdown also for our space launch. Each one of us, we're sitting on the launching pad for our next birth. This present body is a launching pad for our next birth. And the countdown is going on. Clock is ticking. Every second it's going closer and closer to launch, blast off. So whatever consciousness we're in, when the countdown gets to zero, that's where we go. Yam yam bhapi svanam bhavam chajam jante kale varam. Whatever our consciousness is, at that moment, that's what will determine where we will go. So are we ready for the, actually ready to go back to Godhead? Are we ready for Doghead? Is it Godhead or Doghead? What is our mentality? We have to look. Do I have a mentality of a dog, or I have a godly mentality of a Vaishnava? We have to see. Am I more interested in God, or am I more interested in the she dogs or the he dogs? We have to honestly see our own position. You can judge your own advancement in Krishna consciousness or lack of advancement by how much you're no longer attracted by material sense gratification. And you're attracted to Shri Radha Govinda's transcendental form. And the name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Is the Hare Krishna mantra more attractive to you than a beautiful woman? Or not? You see, we can judge our own advancement very simply. Just see how much taste do I have for the name? How much taste do I have for the seeing the beautiful form of the Lord as compared to some mundane thing, some pop song that I used to really enjoy hearing? You see, something like that. We can easily study our own hearts. No one has to tell us. We can easily look into our own heart and see where we're at spiritually. And we should do it regularly. Regularly we should be introspectively analyzing our own position. How advanced am I in Krishna consciousness? What are my difficulties that I'm going through? And if we need help, we should seek help from those who are more advanced than we are, because they have the advantage of having gone through many things that and have conquered over many obstacles that we have not yet conquered over. See, if we take shelter of devotees, take help of devotees who have conquered obstacles that we have not yet conquered, that will make it much, much easier to conquer those obstacles. It's simply a matter of intelligence. Taking full advantage of the resources available. Prabhupada here is taking a jab at the so-called caste system now in India. They're very proud, yes, I am Brahmin. But yet there's no devotional service. You had so-called Brahmin eating meat. Very proud of being Brahmin, but he's eating meat. What kind of nonsense is this going on today in India? And they come to America too, for going to school or whatever. They think, yes, I am. They're very proud, I am Brahmin. They have no interest to come and hear about Krishna. Okay, I am Brahman. I don't need anything. I am already complete because I am Brahman. But if there is no Krishna consciousness, it doesn't matter what your position is. You may be Brahmin, you may be PhD. If you have no Krishna consciousness, you are nowhere. Absolutely. Even if you realize Brahman, even if you become Brahman realized, Ruya Krishna Paramparam Tada Patanjito Nadra Tadushmadangriyaha. Even if you have merged into Brahman effulgence, if you don't have Krishna consciousness, you are nowhere. Patanti Yadho, they fall down from their position. So even that position, which is described as the constitutional position of happiness by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, Brahman realization, is nowhere without Krishna consciousness. It's a temporary position. So how important it is that we cultivate pure Krishna bhakti? Absolutely essential. Another point being made is distinguishing right from wrong. Prabhupada mentions it at least twice in the purport, and it's there in the verse. So three times it's stated. Oh, actually in the verse it says wrong from right, but Prabhupada in the purport says right from wrong, which is the usual way we say in English, right from wrong. So this is the ability that Prabhupada is giving us. Previously, even though our parents taught us the difference between right and wrong, they were wrong, isn't it? They were feeding us meat, in most cases. And they were telling us the difference between right and wrong. What is that nonsense? But now, by the mercy of Prabhupada, we actually know what is the difference between right and wrong. So we have to clearly distinguish. We should always be introspective. Am I acting? Am I thinking, speaking, and acting in the right way or the wrong way? Everything that we do throughout the day, we should be very introspective. Am I thinking in a way which is, of course, what is that distinguishing factor? Whatever is favorable for Krishna consciousness, that is the right thing. Whatever is unfavorable for Krishna consciousness, that is the wrong thing. It's a very simple thing. So we have to analyze, is this thought that's going through my head right now, is this thought sitting there in my consciousness, is it beneficial for my Krishna consciousness, or is it not beneficial? It's not beneficial, we should weed out that thought, put a good thought in the mind, which is Krishna conscious. Is this, and what I'm speaking right now, is what I'm speaking right now Krishna conscious, or is it not Krishna conscious? And what I do, is what I'm doing right now Krishna conscious, or is it not? In this way, always analyzing. And if we're not sure, we should take opinion from someone else who can help us to understand whether this thought, this mode of speech, this mode of activity is beneficial or detrimental for my Krishna consciousness. We have gotten the opportunity to the greatest success in life. Now we have to take full advantage of it. Full advantage of this day. Otherwise, it is simply shama evi kevalam. Useless waste of time. So we should not spoil this human form of life engaging in thoughts, speech, and activities which are not favorable for our advancement on the pathway of Krishna bhakti. We should become very, very expert to discipline every thought, every word and activity so that it is moving me forward step by step, closer and closer to Krishna. And then there is no fear. We become fearless. A student who studies properly at every step of the way, he has nothing to fear of the final exam. That is a very good opportunity for him to prove how well he has studied. There is no fear of the final. For that student who doesn't do the homework, who doesn't write the papers on time, who cheats, copies somebody else's paper, from the previous, 2 years ago, so he won't get caught in this way. He has great fear of the final exam. Because he knows he's not really prepared. He hasn't really mastered the subject. But he's hoping that somehow he can cheat and get his way through. Luck out. So we should not be like that cheating student who doesn't really properly apply the science of bhakti and just hopes that somehow at the time of death I'll luck out and make it. Prabhupada says that there's even one impure desire in the heart, you cannot go back to Godhead. Even one impure desire. And how many impure desires we have now in our hearts. Therefore, every day we must diligently endeavor to free ourselves from all these material desires by developing pure love of God, which just purges all the... When pure love of God comes and all the material desires, just there's no room for them anymore. They're just flushed right out of the heart. So in this way, we have to very, very seriously cultivate the pathway of Krishna consciousness, following the instructions of our beloved Guru Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj. He is our spiritual master. Siksha Guru. There are two kinds of Guru. There is Siksha and Diksha Guru. And we can have many instructing spiritual masters or Siksha Gurus. And we have one Diksha Guru or initiating spiritual master. Both, Prabhupada explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, both of them are equal manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They're both very important. So we have to hear from Siksha Guru and Diksha Guru, follow their instructions. In this way, we can make our lives successful. Normal success is measured in this world by what kind of car you drive, what kind of house you have, etc., etc. What kind of clothing you wear, what kind of watch you wear, so many things. Simply bogus. But now we have the actual understanding by the mercy of these great acharyas. We have the actual understanding, what is real success? We actually know what is real success. And we can endeavor now, following these instructions very nicely, and achieve that supreme success. This is the purpose of this Krishna consciousness movement. So we can ask now if there's any questions. Yes?
As one approaches death and, say, disease takes over the mind and intelligence, for the person's incontinent, how do they, keep Krishna consciousness?
You're wondering if a person's mind is overpowered by the disease and disoriented. Yeah. And how can you possibly be Krishna conscious at the time of death if you go crazy by the, your brain chemistry gets messed up by the disease and your brain doesn't work properly? How will you? Well, that's why King Kulashekar prays like that. He says, "Now my consciousness is clear." He says, "I'm afraid that at the time of death my voice will be choked up with mucus. I won't be able to chant your name properly, take shelter of you properly. So, now while I'm in good state of mind, may I die immediately." He's praying that death may come immediately. That's one way. Don't worry about it. Just don't. Instead of worrying about being in a incapacitated, condition, just pray to die right now, immediately, when you're sharp and clear. That's what King Kulashekar was doing. He was praying, "Now my mind is sharp and clear. Let me die right now, so I'll be okay." That's one way to do it. Prabhupada loved that prayer. He used to sing it all the time. But that doesn't mean we should commit suicide. "Now that I'm sharp and clear, I'll just jump off a bridge. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna." And you become a ghost. We have to actually, our duty is that Krishna is in charge of when this body dies. Sanatan Goswami, you know the story, he had horrible sores all over his body, the pus, grotesque pus oozing. his whole body. And Lord Chaitanya loves Sanatana so much, he would just tightly embrace him. And every time this happened, Sanatana just felt mortified that, oh my body, this is so filthy, and Lord Chaitanya is getting this horrible pus all over his body. I can't tolerate, I'm just going to commit suicide. I can't tolerate this. Lord Chaitanya is getting contaminated by my horrible bodily pus. So Lord Chaitanya heard, what are you, Sanatana, what is this? You can't kill that body. That body belongs to me. And I have so much service I want to do using your body, so you don't think I'm killing it. It's my property. So this body is God's property. Therefore, we don't kill it. We keep it as healthy and strong as we possibly can, Krishna can use it to accomplish so many things for this movement going forward. So the question is then, what do we do then? What about the situation that we faithfully served throughout the entire life, and then some disease comes, and the mind is very difficult to concentrate on Krishna because we might have brain cancer or something like that. Then this was pointed out by Prabhupada to our Tamal Krishna Goswami in India. He said it was a slightly different question, but similar. He was. At that time, he was being sent out to deal with government officers and bank officials. It was very disturbing, dealing with the material energy. Instead of just, having kirtan and talking about Krishna consciousness and taking prasadam, he was going out and dealing with all this disturbing, karmi officials in India, and trying to deal with all the red tape of getting things done in India. It was very, very disturbing to the consciousness. Prabhupada told him, just give this one life completely for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and whatever you're lacking at the time of death, Lord Chaitanya will cover for you. So, if you sincerely endeavor with everything, your intelligence, your mind, your words, your body, everything, you give your full energy, mental, psychological, everything, physical, you give all your energy completely to serve the Prabhupada's mission without holding anything back, then if anything is lacking for you at the time of death because of some disease, then Krishna will cover for you and you'll be okay. So now the key is, now while you're stout and strong, don't be lackadaisical, thinking, well, later on I'll become, thinking about becoming pure. Now, I'll chant Hare Krishna, and I'll also try to enjoy this material world at the same time. Don't do that. Become very sober and very serious to become a pure devotee now. Dedicate your whole life in that way, every moment, striving for pure bhakti. And then you're all right at the time of death. You'll be okay no matter what happens, even if you have a brain tumor. You'll be okay because you sincerely endeavor. Krishna sees what your life, and there's even a prayer like that in the Isha Upanishad. Please, my dear Lord, remember all that I have done for you. The devotee's saying, Krishna, remember Krishna, I did this. Remember all I have done for you. See? So build up your assets now every day. By every day sincerely, soberly offering it to Krishna with enthusiasm, with determination, with patience, prosecute this pathway of Krishna consciousness, and you'll be okay no matter what happens at the time of death. Questions more? Yes. Krishna, devotees are in anxiety that Krishna will change their karma? I'd be happy if he changed mine.
Wealth came easily, or different things came easily in their life, and then
think about that because they know.
They're afraid that now something I may have been that I was actually supposed to get karmically, now I'm not going to get it because I'm engaged in devotional service.
Yeah.
Actually, Krishna, it works the other way. Krishna will give you more than you deserved. It actually works the other way. If you actually surrender to Krishna, Krishna will give you more. That's a fact. In other words, just like a child, his parents give allowance, weekly allowance. You know, $1 every week. Of course, when I was a kid, it was only a nickel, but you know, you could buy a lot more with a nickel then. $1 a week is what I got. But maybe it's $1 now, I don't know what the going allowance is. $1 a week. So one child, he frivolously spends it on junk. So the parents say, well, we're going to cut your allowance in half, 50 cents a week. Another child, he invests it in a savings account or something. I'm going to save for the future. Do something really important and valuable. So, oh, we'll give you $5 a week then. We'll increase your allowance to $5 a week. So actually, that's how it works. Whatever Krishna has given you, whatever you're getting by the din of your past activities, if you engage that completely in Krishna's service, then Krishna will give you even more than what you deserve karmically. It'll increase because you see this person is engaging everything in my service. But on the other hand, if you take those things that you were entitled to get karmically and you use them for sense gratification, now that you're trying to become a devotee but you're still mixed, you see, then Krishna will actually take them away. And that's what people are scared of, because there's a verse like that in the Bhagavatam, that Krishna will take away everything. The Prabhupada said he did it to me. Took away my business, my family life, my happiness. So I had nothing to do except to take complete shelter of him. But actually, one has not to be afraid. You just, that I don't want to become Krishna conscious because then he'll take away everything. No, don't be afraid like that. Just use everything for Krishna. That's all. And then you'll get more. Prabhupada told another quote to Tamar Krishna, as he said, Krishna can give you all of America within 1 minute, but what you will do with it. So the fact is that if we use everything for Krishna, then he can give us unlimited opulence to engage in his service. And actually that's what he wants. He wants that this whole world should be engaged in his service. So whatever devotees are actually manifesting pure bhakti, Krishna will give them more and more and more and more to engage. So if you're attracted to material opulence, then just use every bit of it in Krishna's service and you'll get more of it. But if you're trying to be a devotee and at the same time you want to enjoy material opulence, well, Krishna's going to be really kind. He's going to take it all away from you. Take it all away. You won't have any. Nothing. So you can really get serious about just taking shelter of Krishna. So either way, you're in a good shape. Whether he takes it away or he gives more, there's nothing to be afraid. Either way, it's his mercy. Either way, you're benefited. But if you're thinking, I prefer to get more material opulence, all right, then just be a pure devotee. Don't be attached to anything except Krishna. See, then you will get more opulence to use it for Krishna. And there's opulence has different forms. There's actually, you know, it means money or it means facilities. It also means prestige. That's another opulence. Subtle opulences. So that applies there too. Whatever recognition people give you, if you don't take that upon your, whatever honor you may receive, if you don't proudly think, yes, I deserve this honor and respect, but instead you think, actually, I do not deserve this honor and respect, and it all belongs to my Guru Maharaj, because it's his, by his mercy that I am able to engage in this Krishna consciousness. So whatever honor and prestige one receives, if one offers it to the previous acharyas, you see, then actually you will get more honor and prestige. One time in one big pandal in India, thousands of people were worshipping and respecting Prabhupada. And he told one disciple, it's because I'm free from sex desire. So, in this way, everything is offered to Krishna. We will get more and more and more of things, subtle and gross, that can be offered to Krishna. So we have nothing to fear when we take shelter of Lord Krishna. Nothing to fear. We will gain absolutely everything. Nothing will be lost. Questions, Mark? So we'll stop here, and just another reminder of today's seminar at 2 o'clock. We will focus exclusively on spiritual purity and attaining pure devotional service, which is the reason we actually came to this movement, to become Krishna conscious. So we'll be focused, have a 2-hour focused seminar on doing that. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Hare Krishna.